are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I am thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 to 20 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Coming up on today's show, we're going to do another edition of the Giants Mailbag. We got so many great questions. I'm not going to be able to get to all of them. I am going to keep them on reserve, and we'll do another one later this week, and I'll keep those questions and certainly address some of them that I don't get to today. Before we start, just briefly a little bit about me. I've been a contributor to the baseball analysis sites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs, which is part of Fangraphs. I started a Giants podcast called Covecast in 2015 and then joined the Locked On Podcast Network prior to the 2019 season. So jumping right into the questions, the first one comes from GiantsFan2855, who says, do you see us trying to make a move to get Francisco Lindor? Now, just to provide a little bit of context to those who may not know, there was a report yesterday that the Indians intend to trade Francisco Lindor before opening day. And it makes a lot of sense for the cash-strapped Indians, with Lindor entering the last year of his contract, controllable through arbitration, projected to earn over $20 million this year through the arbitration process. So when a team comes out and says, we are going to trade this player, and when that player is a star-level player, it certainly merits this question, should the Giants make a move to get him? But in a nutshell, my response is that I do not think that this makes that much sense for the Giants at this point in time. It's not just that I'm saying, oh no, the Giants shouldn't acquire Francisco Lindor. The nuance is that the fact that he's in the last year of his contract is what makes this not make sense for the Giants. Fundamentally, a team that is like ready to win right now, they're on the cusp. Maybe a team like the Phillies. I mean, without looking, I'm sure there are other teams, but teams that are like right there and perhaps, you know, have been to the postseason and want to put themselves over the top and give themselves that extra advantage to advance in the postseason and win a World Series. Those are the types of teams that make more sense for a rental player. This is what we call a rental player. Now, on the flip side of that, or just another point, another layer to this, is that, you know, you could make the case, should the Giants trade for Lindor and then try to extend him? And that's a totally different scenario. If you had a really good sense that you could extend Francisco Lindor after trading for him, and or if the Indians allowed you to discuss it with Lindor prior to trading for him, that's kind of a different story. But at the same time, and this is the last point I'll make because I want to get to some other questions, Lindor is set to reach free agency at the end of this year. So the Giants could always try to sign him. And you might think, the Giants always come up short for hitters. You shouldn't rely on that. Well, that's true. But Lindor is one of five elite young shortstops who are going to reach free agency after the 2021 season. Javier Baez, Trevor Story, Carlos Correa, and Corey Seager are also set to reach free agency. This coincides perfectly with Brandon Crawford's contract expiring after the 2021 season. So I think it makes more sense just to wait until next offseason and try to sign one of these shortstops to replace Crawford. Because think about it, if you traded for Lindor now, what do you do with Brandon Crawford, who's still on this team? I get it, you could work around it, but five elite shortstops, Giants will have tons of money to spend. I think it makes more sense to just wait until next offseason. So moving on to the next question, kind of a follow-up to that one, GiantsFan2855 asks, what do you think about Trevor Bauer? Do you think he'd be a good fit? And then relatedly, Cobert Gobert asks, do you think the Giants would be willing to let Bauer pitch every 4 days, as he's asked for as one of his requests on a new team. And so this is a different story, and I do think that the Giants will be players for Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer is inarguably the best pitcher available this winter. And there's been some talk about how he's inconsistent and there's some downside with him, but I don't really see that. The one kind of downside I see is that his velocity was down a tick this season, but at the same time, he had a career-high strikeout rate. And if you look back, you know, I don't really care too much about individual seasons. Like to say he was good this year, then he wasn't as good this year, and he was good the year before that. I'm kind of looking at the big picture. What if you combine those 3 years? What if you look back over the last like 5 years? This guy is one of the better pitchers in the game. He's not top five, top 10 probably. I mean, this year he kind of was. But I'm looking at the bigger picture. You don't want to go too far back, otherwise your data starts to get a little bit too old and it's not necessarily relevant anymore. But with Bauer, if we go back over 3 seasons, it's pretty clear to me he's like a top 20 starting pitcher in the game, arguably better than that. I don't see a ton of downside, especially because with Bauer, it's likely that he wants a shorter term deal. It has been reported that he is interested only in 1 year deals, but that's not entirely true because his agent did walk back those comments. So for like 4 years, $128 million, that's what MLB Trade Rumors predicted he would get. I think the Giants would be very interested in making that type of deal. And 4 years fits really well with their timeline. Something that kind of I've come along to in recent years is understanding that sometimes you want to get these players in your organization before you take that step forward. So signing Bauer doesn't necessarily mean the Giants should be expected to have this great season in 2021, although I would say that signing Bauer might actually move them in that direction significantly. But you want to have somebody like this in your organization when you start taking those steps forward. It's like the Padres with Manny Machado. They signed him before they were, you know, taking that next step. And now when they took that next step, they already had a superstar, you know, locked in at third base. And so I think 4 years fits really well with the Giants' timeline here as they transition back to contention. And Trevor Bauer, being the unique person that he is, I think would fit in really well. He wants all the analytics. He wants the best tools and tech to succeed, and the Giants have that. And yes, I think they may be willing to let him pitch every 4 days because the Giants now are one of the most kind of forward-thinking organizations in the league. And I think that is part of what makes Bauer a really good fit for the Giants. The one thing is they would have to surrender a second-round draft pick if they sign him because he was, you know, extended the qualifying offer and he rejected it. So that is the one kind of caveat to all this. Anyway, coming up next, we'll continue to run through your questions from Twitter. But before we get into it, I want to talk about our good friends over at Built Bar. If you know me, you know that I love these bars. And I wouldn't be saying that about these bars if they weren't so low in sugar, because I'm a health conscious person and I'm not going to be eating a protein bar that basically is a candy bar. But what's great about Built Bar is that they taste like a candy bar. They taste like candy, except they're somehow very low in sugar and high in protein. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate and they're soft and easy to chew. I'm going to give an example of the nutritional facts about one of these bars. The peanut butter bar has 19 grams of protein, just 180 calories and 5 grams of sugar. Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch. There's a free cooler with every purchase while supplies last. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. All right, as promised, here in the second half of the show, we'll continue to run through your questions from Twitter. We'll try to get to more than two. Going to somewhat rapid fire some of these here in the second half. Pac Bell Partisan asks, should we expect anything out of Tyler Beede in 2021? who's the odd man out in our current rotation if we sign a free agent starting pitcher? Yes, I do think we should expect something out of Tyler Beede. I'm not, you know, holding out hope that he's going to be some kind of ace. I think if anything, he'll give you some quality innings. There's certainly upside in his arm. His last start that he made, which was in 2019, was phenomenal before he had to come out with, what was it, an oblique injury. So yes, I mean, I have hope for Tyler Beede. The one issue is that coming back from Tommy John surgery, pitchers often, you know, the stuff is there, but the command is usually the last thing to come back. And it usually takes about an extra year and before you get your command back. And Beede's problem was command anyway. And so I don't have hugely high hopes for him in 2021, to be frank. But I think they'll use him and they'll kind of mix him in and see what he can do. They're not going to rely on him to give them 150, 200 innings, certainly. And in terms of who's the odd man out in the current rotation if they sign a free agent starter, really it's nobody because they lost Samardzija and Gausman and Smiley are free agents as well. So, you know, and then there's some kind of question, do they bring back Tyler Anderson, who's arbitration eligible and projected to earn $3 to $4 million? I think that's, they do want to bring back Tyler Anderson. I would be surprised if they do not reach an agreement with him. But, you know, even if he comes back, it's just him, Johnny Cueto, and what, Logan Webb, who we're not even sure is going to be in the rotation. So there's nobody blocked right now. Maybe you mean if they bring back Gausman and Smiley, but those guys are free agents. So even if they bring back Gausman and Smiley, there's still basically room. And I guess who would be the odd man out? In my opinion, Logan Webb would be kind of the first one, and then Tyler Anderson after that. But, you know, they're not going to be dead set on a five-man rotation. If they have six good starters, they'll find a way to mix that in as well. You always need pitching depth, and I think it's never a bad thing. We've seen them, you know, coming into last year, I thought they had like 12 guys who could legitimately make starts for them. So we'll see. Eric asks, if the Giants fall out of contention, but Brandon Belt is healthy and performing well, do you think he waives his no trade to build up his value for free agency? The thing about Belt, I do not believe he has a full no trade. I think it's a list of like 10 teams that he either picks annually or he picked once, and those are the 10 teams to whom he can block a trade, but not a full no trade clause if memory serves. However, yeah, I mean, I think he would be open to accepting a trade if it was just for half a season to build up his value. And I guess what's going unsaid here is that potentially building up his value would mean going to another team that's going to be in the postseason where he has a chance to perform well and build up value that way. Although you could also say he has a chance to be, you know, he is streaky, so he could perform poorly and tank his value. So I don't know. Belt seems like an easy enough going guy that if the Giants were really not contending, he was having a good year, if the Giants came to him and said, "Look, we have this trade lined up. Will you accept it?" to one of the teams he can block a trade to, there's a chance he would, I think. But I don't really expect the Giants to be that out of contention at the deadline. And even if they are, trading for like 2 months of Brandon Belt, I don't think would really net them enough to justify doing that. So, you know, we'll see. John asks, should the Giants be looking to trade Mike Yastrzemski in the next couple of years? More years of control will net a better trade, and he isn't getting younger. So this generated some discussion on Twitter, and I'm definitely happy to chime in. It's definitely a legitimate question. My feelings about it are that they should just hold on to him as long as he's doing this. I don't expect some huge drop off the table suddenly. He's performing at a star level, and he doesn't really show any signs of slowing down. He doesn't, to me, have the type of body that's going to necessarily age poorly. And his power is generated through really good mechanics. And so, I mean, I just kind of think that he's going to be able to keep this up for a few years. But your point is well taken. You've got this guy who's 30 years old on a team that's not quite there yet. with like 5 years of club control. He's got a lot of value. Do you consider trading him and getting multiple pieces back that fill multiple holes, which the Giants do have? Like maybe you get a couple starting pitchers who are really intriguing, young, talented starting pitchers, and that addresses a need. But then to me, you've put a hole in your lineup where Yastrzemski was. So you have to improve in the present to me to make it justifiable, because Yastrzemski is helped them this year, like put themselves in contention. I'm not someone who subscribes to this belief that in a 162 game season, they would have fallen out of contention for sure. They were tough and they were one of the best offensive teams in baseball over a significant stretch of time. You take out Mike Yastrzemski from that equation and you've dramatically hurt your team, in my opinion. So it's something they should consider, but I do not think they would do that like now, certainly. But the one thing I did want to say is that I wouldn't put it past them, because they're going to do whatever they think is best, even if it's unpopular. We have seen that over and over. And so a Mike Yastrzemski trade would be unpopular, but if they really felt like it was the best thing for them to do, I think they would do it. And so I want to leave that on the table, but he fits their team really well. He's the leader of this team. The front office is thrilled with how he has led. He's a leader in the clubhouse, and he's also someone who understands what the front office is doing and communicates with them. He's like a conduit between the clubhouse and the front office. He embraces new technology, new data, new information. He's a swing change guy. He's always trying to improve through the latest, you know, tools that this new coaching staff has to offer. So he adds so much value, not just on the field, but just to the organization in general. So I don't think he's going anywhere. If we talk 2-3 years from now, if you're starting to see signs of decline and he still has multiple years of control left, it's something they could do at that point, perhaps. But he's like become the face of this franchise, and I don't think he's going anywhere. All right. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today. We had several other great questions I really wanted to get to. We will save those. And when we do our next mailbag, I think earlier I said later this week, but today is Friday. Got all disoriented with everything else that's going on. We'll save them and do them next week. So be sure to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving it a review in the Apple Podcast Store. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend. Cannot wait to be with you again on Monday. And until then, we'll see you next time.